It's John and Lance.
I destroyed.
John's ripping Coors Light families apart.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
On the show, Wet Wild Friday, or if we can get a female to call in and say, how does she have to say it?
Wet and Wild Friday.
Yeah, we will record, we will cut it, record it, and we'll have it available where we can play it anytime it rains on a Friday. Yeah. So the Astros played a doubleheader, got smoked in game one. I mean, smoked, gave up two grand slams. Lambert actually started off good, and then it went poorly. Your boy Abreu with another outing where he struck out three but gave up a run. This is now where he's given up runs in eight of his 11 outings this year. He's been absolutely terrible. Paredes came into the game, came into the doubleheader hitting 222, left the doubleheader hitting 253. So he's getting hotter and playing much better. Good. You have Yordan had it. They won the second game. McCullers actually had a nice game.
That was a solid outing. That was nice for Lance.
It was nice for Lance. He's one or the other right now.
The journey continues.
The journey does continue.
The story of a barista turning into a pitcher.
Well, that's actually not how the... It's actually pitcher, barista, pitcher.
Yeah, but let's pick it up from barista to pitcher. It sounds way better.
Actually, that does sell.
That is a way better Amazon Prime docuseries than pitcher, barista.
That actually is a good point.
Yeah.
It is a good point.
Barista slash...
Because that seems incredible. That seems impossible.
Yeah. Like, baristas in general are not the most athletic.
Not typically.
But this
just
young
off
man...
Just off the eye test.
Yeah. But this man has made it to the leagues. He made it to the majors.
Mm-hmm.
And pitched a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Now,
Yeah, if you pick his career up at like 23.
Yeah.
Yeah, your story makes sense. That's not really what happens. Well, you're right. Maybe for... Sometimes they change things for television to make
it more. It's not as exciting to go from throwing all the curveballs to eliminate the Yankees.
27 in a row, something like that.
To then going, you know what? I'd rather be a barista.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a choice that he made. I don't know if he chose to do that. He did have a coffee company. I feel like sometimes he gets, going to leave and become a barista. I don't feel like that's the way the arc went.
People make it sound like he just decided to pick up a side job. Where he it's a company he owns.
Right.
The economy was
so
bad.
I feel like people don't always categorize that. Like they're like, can you believe this barista is?
No, but he had to hustle. The economy was so bad. He's like, dude, I can't make it as a major league pitcher.
That
making
wasn't how that
millions
went.
Of dollars. I have to work on the side.
Look,
this is how bad
else to
yeah.
do.
I this gig that. Economy, I want to take advantage of.
See,
it.
I didn't think that's what that was, but
and then but he
you
went
you are right. That is a better story.
Yeah.
From barista to pitcher.
Barista that to pitcher. Same thing with Jordan, right? Baseball player.
Yeah, I guess.
Who's like, hey, man, I think I can
play
the NBA.
Up, if you pick it up in 1995, mm-hmm. and that's where you start, and he's in the minor leagues playing for the Birmingham Barons, and he's on a bus trip and all that stuff. If you pick it up from there, that's a pretty cool story. He goes from there to three straight championships.
Well, and got eliminated once. We
yeah,
can't forget
but that's,
the magic.
We always kind of run through. Everyone's like, Jordan won six straight. What?
Yeah,
he didn't win six straight titles, actually. He came back and got eliminated
by the
Magic.
Hardway. Yeah.
And everyone tries to gloss over that like that. That wasn't really Jordan.
That
he wore
happen.
45. Like, no, he scored 55 in the Garden that year. But, that was still a pretty good Bulls team.
Yeah.
And they got eliminated by a super stacked Orlando
he
team.
He literally, after coming back from baseball, he eliminated a team of superstar aliens and then lost to the Magic and then won three in a row. So
Right.
You can't forget the forgotten years in between.
I don't know if that's...
Yeah.
If we're going to do that, I don't know if we can position that as real.
So Astros 1-1 yesterday.
So yeah,
Rockets game 6. Let's get back to this conversation now. snapshot conversation.
So yeah, so Astros they're 11-20 now, or 12. They're 12-20, 8 games under. They'll never get back to 500 this year. The pitching's so absolutely lousy. They just don't. Now they did wreck shop. Jordan had another home run. He's got 12 home runs. Their pitching is so absolutely lousy that I don't see any. I say there's no hope for getting back to 500, but Hunter Brown presumably will make it back. I guess Imai makes it back.
When is he coming back? I thought it was.
He started
couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, he's starting. Imai is starting his rehab stuff. So.
Don't bring him back.
Oh, my arm. Oh, no, I can't acclimate to this country. Like,
I can't.
Oh,
eat.
Dude, you're just here.
I can't eat in the clubhouse. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, he's like, why are we? We're supposed to eat at the hotel.
I'm not eating in front of you guys. That's.
I know.
I can't do that. It's like in middle school when you would have to shower in front of everyone. It's awkward. I don't want to do that. And Imai's like, hey, I don't want to eat in front of other players.
No, and to be fair, so in Japan, you eat where you are and you don't travel and eat. Like, you don't eat while you're walking or anything like that. Like, where you get your food, you eat, and that's that. I don't know. Maybe they do takeout, but I didn't see it. I just saw you eat. So to him, this is like, what are you dirty Americans doing? He's having a hard time acclimating.
Keep him in sugar, man.
I'd like for him to pitch, though. I'd love for him to pitch at some point.
It's not going to help.
The rest of these guys stink. I'm just hoping somebody.
Good.
We got a long winter, Rio. A long summer ahead of us.
Didn't Imai get lit up in his rehab start?
I didn't see it. Yeah, did he?
I think he did. I don't think it was good.
That's not great. Yeah.
There's no hope. I'm doing the social experiment with the Astros now where, look, I'm not working full-time in sports radio, right?
Tell people what you're doing right now.
So I'm doing play-by-play for the UFC on UFC Fight Pass. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it for almost 5 years now. I'm a senior play-by-play voice for Fury Fighting Championship. Mm-hmm. They're number one feeder to the UFC.
I know.
So I'm not – look, what I do is I want to be your listener. I treat it like that. So
my accountant said he always goes all the time.
Yeah.
Nick Stander, who's amazing. You guys need somebody, this dude – especially if you have a small business like I have, dude, he is the best. Shout out to Nick. And I've known him for a while. But Nick said, oh, yeah. He goes, have you ever been to those fights? That's
incredible.
I'm like, yeah. I said, I know the guy who was the play-by-play announcer. I said, I've known Raheel for a long time.
Yeah. And you actually came to a fight.
Yeah. It was awesome.
So much fun, right?
It's awesome. Like, there's not a bad seat in the house.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And he said, we got to get our boys together and go check it out.
Yeah, I'll get y'all tickets anytime.
You let Sebastian go in the ring and put a belt on. Yeah. I got a picture of that.
Shout out
Sebastian. Got a one-minute submission, just completely annihilated the kid in front of him the other day. I was watching that during day three.
Yeah.
And it's BJ. It's just Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
It's just grappling. Yeah. Grappling series.
But he's been lifting 5 days a week, eating nothing. He's turning into a bro. I'm like,
does he have the broccoli hair? Does he have that, like, the kids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, broccoli heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a broccoli head, too, now.
So my social experiment, Lance, is I'm treating it like a listener, right, this season. So if there's nothing interesting, why would I go out of my way to watch it?
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
And guess how many Astros games I've watched in full?
Two.
I do watch recap games. I do watch condensed games. I love those. I've been watching that since 2018.
So you should watch them all. I'm going to say two.
Lower.
One.
One. Opening day.
Opening day.
That was it.
Where are you getting your condensed games?
MLB app.
Just get it through MLB app. You have to pay for it?
Yeah, you do have to pay for it.
It's worth it, though.
T-Mobile customers, you get it for free. But there's plenty of condensed games for free on YouTube. Like, MLB just does it now. You can get it anywhere.
That's great for people who live
out of...
We had the guys from... Oh, no, he said he's from the Bay Area. He moved here, but...
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's great if you don't catch
it. Every team does it. There's a guy, I forgot his name, but he just puts up condensed games and adds some commentary.
And you have NBA condensed games, too. For years you had that. You still have it?
I still have. That's...
Is that off NBA
available? Yeah.
Yeah. I've watched him before.
Condensed games are the way to do it. Mm-hmm. It's so much better, right? Like, you get all the high moments, and you can watch condensed games and longer condensed games.
That's what Granato ought to do on the West Coast.
Yeah.
He should be watching condensed. Just wake up and, yeah.
So, anyways, I haven't watched a full broadcast since opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just not exciting. It's not intriguing.
It's not. It does suck. It does suck to be in this phase of Astros baseball. It sucks that we're finally out of it. It appears to be we're out of it.
It sucks, man.
Oh, look who's here today.
Who's
here? Is that La Raza? La Raza, what's up, Irv? How we doing today?
Juanito G.
Sorry, just took a quick nap for 30 minutes. Did I wait?
We didn't see you on there.
You guys got the worst wait time.
Go ahead.
Okay, Raizy G gives a
Delicito. Start with more energy. Come on. It's a wet and wild Friday. Let's bring it.
All right. Here it goes. Raheezy G.
Yeah.
Give Lance a salchicha.
Hey, give some of that salchicha.
Delicita.
Oh, yeah.
Wet and wild.
Wet and wild.
Para tres, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, okay, first of all, well, y'all told us to call in if John was black. I remember when the first time I heard him, I think he was doing John versus Hip Hop. Uh-huh. That's the time I thought he was black.
You did think John was black at some point.
Yeah, we used to do a segment called John versus Hip Hop.
We get this with Dell. We never get that with John
versus Genius.
Yeah. John versus Genius.
Yeah, Rappler.
I never got to hear it. I heard it once and it was fantastic. Yeah. It was incredible.
So that was that. But then I'm also calling in because I'm concerned about you, Rio. Are you okay?
What happened, man? No, I'm good. Life is good. What's up?
You sure? Because I know that you don't work for CityCast no more, so I heard that you had a job at Chase. Something happened at Chase recently. I just want to make sure that you're okay, my boy.
J.P. Morgan.
J.P. Morgan.
I was making sure you're okay, my boy, he said.
Did y'all talk about that story yesterday?
Oh, about for a segment, full segment.
I missed it.
And
I
know, Dell.
Yeah.
So Dell was basically, the story was this woman who is an executive. This is how the story was originally positioned. The story who, okay, so if the kids are going to school, they're probably not going to love this one. But this woman who was an executive was in trouble. This guy came out and said, oh, and this guy was Indian, of Indian descent. And he came out and said, oh, this woman, she was like, she's 30-something. I was her sex slave. She was telling me, you know, she, and in the article, it said.
He accused her of using Rohypnol to drug him, forcing him to take Viagra. She would call him names.
He was going to lose his job
if he didn't perform sexual acts on her, he would lose his job. She, during the middle of these acts, would call out his wife and use slurs to degrade her.
Which that seemed, and then she used her phrase cannons for her own.
She dropped a racial slur on the wife and said, I bet she doesn't have these cannons.
Something a dude would say.
Do women's call their breasts cannons?
No, that's just not typically. I don't usually hear that. I mean, now that we found out, apparently, this was all fake.
It's not true.
It's not true. The dude got busted and he was trying to like. Now, they may have had. They may have had a relationship. I don't know. I don't even know if they had a relationship.
She is categorically denied.
Okay. Well, he tried to get paid, I guess, off of this.
I look at the two pictures, and I do this, and maybe this is wrong, because the heart wants what the heart wants, but mm-hmm. I look at the two pictures of the executive
mm-hmm.
and the guy, and I'm like, there's no way that executive is making him the sex slave.
Yeah.
There's just more.
Well, you were right.
There's better options for her.
Yeah. It turns out you were right.
Yeah. That was my initial. I was like, oh, when the picture came out, I'm like, oh, no chance.
So see, it shut it. So apparently none of this was true. And Dell and John were going on and on about it, being extremely irresponsible
about?
To bring up fake stories again.
No, I didn't. Well, John brought the story. I just started to contemplate looking at the woman as Raheel just pointed out. How far would she have to go before I found it too far? Like, because it was,
he said, apparently what we found out is, you know how you would take money for anything?
Mm-hmm.
Dell would take verbal abuse for a long time.
That was the question. How many things, what would she have to say for me to go, all right, that's enough? Like, I was listening.
Did we ever get to your end point?
If I was replacing a slur, the alleged slur, that which turns out not to be true, that she used.
That sucks for her. Her whole name is out there.
Yeah. I mean.
Even at racial slur, I would, if it's like in good fun.
Like if she's laughing and we're joking about
it. If it's consensual.
Yeah.
But what he's saying.
And she drops a racial slur. I'm like.
I'm like, that's interesting. I wonder why you went there. But I'll move on. I can move on pretty quickly.
There were people yesterday who were already saying, this feels like a dude who got caught and started making.
Yeah.
Because when they read the article, I saw a video where this guy was like, this doesn't sound like anything a woman. He goes, it sounds like somebody thought they were on a good run, and then they kept adding to it. And I'm not even gonna say anything. There's so many things in there where you said, man.
We should,
and then
really
she said that. Yeah, yeah, like that
the
was
Cannons
like.
One is the Cannons is a giveaway. Dead giveaway.
The Curry yeah. one, Curry that was one. A way. That was like.
The whole thing was. But did you see the memes after? It's like a bunch of guys just running.
Yeah, yeah,
just put,
yeah.
Oh, everybody yeah. running to J.P. Morgan to apply for a job.
Yeah, she's going to sue somebody. I don't know who's getting sued, but somebody's getting sued.
Coming out of it.
Well, actually, yeah, she's not a known person. So actually, there could be a lot of lawsuits.
There's
going to
be
actually,
tons.
For people who ran with this.
Who leaked it?
Well, the Post,
or
right?
New York Post had it.
Yeah, so then J.P. Morgan's going to catch it because that's
Post
confidential
could end up
information.
Catching it.
When you have an HR issue like that, when it gets leaked,
oh, you've already had, and you already had McAfee and
well, he went
and,
to
and
well,
Barstool gets sued over something like
well,
this.
Well, the case, the lawsuit was leaked, right? Like he filed
yeah.
a lawsuit, and that was how the,
yeah,
the Post
I think
got a hold
yeah,
of
it's not a rumor.
Okay.
That's true. That's yeah. true because there was a lawsuit.
Okay,
so
then
lawsuit.
That's fine.
You can comment.
Okay,
on
I
that.
Thought somebody leaked it from
no,
the HR
right.
department.
You can comment on it.
Yeah, then that's fine.
You can comment on it. So the Rockets,
we're good. Let's
yeah. So the Rockets are Rockets play Game 6. That's what we were just talking about.
Yeah. Hopefully and, the cannons are loaded for
hopefully the cannons,
t-shirt cannons.
Hopefully the t-shirt cannons okay. are loaded for you don't have cannons like we have at inside Toyota Center.
Bro, when Jabari and Reed go off like that, those cannons are working.
I like Jabari. I've always liked Jabari. Some people don't like Jabari, but I don't know, for some reason I just really like Jabari Smith.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like he just goes out there and he's always, first of all, he wasn't caught up in Vibes basketball even back in the day when they had KPJ and Jalen and dumb people in the stands who just thought they were watching something great even though the Rockets were a terrible team, but because they loved the DJ and there was Vibes in the building. I saw somebody post something on Instagram like they were losing, but the Vibes are incredible. Vibes are immaculate. I'm like, shut up. This team sucks. What are you talking about? Show me that you've never watched a good basketball team. Like this, the Vibes, nothing. You know, the Vibes are so much better in the playoffs when your team is good. That's when the Vibes are so much better.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Jabari was just always about ball. Like he, to this day, he just shows up and I feel like he's a reliable person. I'm not saying he's going to make all his baskets or anything like that, but I just think he shows up. He's a good dude. He wants to win. He wants to do whatever it takes to win. I don't know. I just like Jabari Smith.
And he's so confident. I love.
He's confident. He's not rattled.
He's not arrogant. He's
no.
confident.
No. And
I love that about
he's
him.
He's lately been taking yeah. on a role. He just said, I need to do more. I got to help my team.
Nobody else is doing it.
Mm-mm.
We've got our leader on Twitter. Who else? I mean, like Twitter somebody leader. Has to do it. Alpin can't speak English, I guess.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, man, this playoff series is going off the rails. When the whole story after game 4 was, hey, guys, he can't speak that much English, but he made a speech.
I've heard him speak after games all the time.
Like,
what are we talking about?
Like,
Alperen speaks
was,
just fine.
It was low-key the most racist stuff ever.
Well, and he even said, was it him or was
he
it
He said
Ahmed?
It. He's like, yeah.
He asked, did I say everything right? Like, there's one thing in there that you didn't. The translation was a little bit
it's
lost.
Okay.
And I was just thinking, we've seen him talk after games all the time.
Yeah, he's not running around with a translator.
I'm sure they knew what his post-game speech. Is he going to give another speech today?
No, he can't.
You can only
do one speech in a series.
Who gives the speech
today? Do you think the loss in translation?
I want Tari's mom to give the speech.
Do you think the loss?
She'll get after people on Twitter
sometimes,
too.
The loss in translation thing is he was thinking of basketball, but he said Expecto Patronum instead.
Said well because he's a Harry Potter.
He's
guy.
A Harry Potter.
And Amin's never seen the movie. He's like, I don't. That part was.
I
confusing.
Do get the feeling some of his Harry Potter stuff would go over his teammates' heads. Yeah. I bet you Reed's seen Harry Potter.
Why? Why do you say that?
I don't know. Reed seems just like seems like he thought a magical stuff when he was a kid.
You
said Alperen did.
You don't think the?
I think Tari Eason was
twins?
A.
No,
I just
Tari
think the Thompsons.
Eason?
I bet you Tari knows. Yeah, I do. The Thompsons, no, they're playing ball. Yeah. They didn't have time for that. Their dad's like, I'm not taking you out a dumbass Harry Potter. Y'all got to go do slide drills.
Okay, who else on the Rockets roster would get the Harry Potter
Kevin
references?
Durant would get Harry Potter.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he gets it.
I mean,
I don't don't know.
He seems like the type. When he's not watching ball, he's watching movies.
I could see him smoking out and then going and watching the Goblin's Ghoul or whatever.
The Goblet of Fire.
Are. Yeah, one of those shows. Goblet
of Fire. I don't know.
Whatever y'all's movies are.
I missed the whole Harry Potter thing. I didn't jump on it.
Your daughter was.
No, she tried reading some of
them. Drake was young, yeah. And my wife read all the books, and Drake read the books, and then we watched a movie. I watched some of the movies. But yeah.
I tried the movies. I couldn't do it. It was too stupid. Mm-hmm.
I actually thought the movies were pretty well done. I got bored with those Lord of the Rings movies.
I was on Lord of the Rings. God,
this is so long. Please let it end. I just thought it was too long.
You can just turn the movie off.
Not when you're in a theater. So, Del, there used to be a time where we watched everything in a theater.
It's not necessary anymore.
Not anymore, yeah.
You see the Jackson film, the Michael Jackson film?
Everyone's killing it.
No, all the critics are killing it.
Yeah.
It's people like 95 plus with the actual people who watch it. Yes.
Every critic murdered it, said this is one of the worst things
I've ever
seen.
Because they probably didn't get like swag or didn't get paid off by the studio.
It's also because it stopped the story like in like 1987.
Oh, before all the, before all the good, before all the terrible stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They stopped it bad probably.
How? I've seen the monkey in the trailer.
They didn't. From what I was told, it didn't.
Like you're right. 38% critics, 97 audience.
It was,
but of course, everyone still loves Michael Jackson. Kids of all ages still love Michael Jackson.
From what I could tell, if you were looking for an actual movie that provided any insight on things, that's not what that was for. It was just, hey, we'll play the bangers. This guy looks a lot like Michael, and if you want to celebrate Michael Jackson, this is for you. But if you want any like deeper insight into him or his family, you're not going to get that.
This is probably an approved by the Jacksons type of document.
Oh, yeah. It came from the estate.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to get Finding Neverland.
This is a heritage film, pretty much, from the estate.
Yeah. We're not doing the other stuff.
No. This is
none of the other stuff.
Approved only.
Do they have him running around carrying
the baby?
Emmanuel Lewis in his arms at the Grammys?
They didn't have
that. He carried another person in his arms at the Grammys. And it was a young person. Yeah. It's not a great look. I bet you that one didn't show up.
That's why I wanted to do this segment called Resurrecting Bangers. Because I don't know if you've seen, because of the Michael Jackson film, all his songs are now charting. They're all back into the spotlight.
Are they really?
Yeah, it's awesome. Like his vinyls are selling out, all that good stuff. So I wanted to resurrect bangers.
Okay.
Songs that we thought would be bigger in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hear from everyone. So if you're on Twitter, you can send it.
Because my daughter knows, my daughter knows all old music, and apparently a lot of kids her age do, because these songs come back on
TikTok.
Yeah. And they come back on TikTok. Reels and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so she knows songs. I say, how do you know this? She knew Double Dutch Bus, the song Double Dutch Bus. Yeah, I'm like, how is this a TikTok? This doesn't strike me as a TikTok
song. So that's why I want to find songs that you thought would be bigger now. That aren't. So let's resurrect.
They're way bigger now.
Yeah. Like, I want to resurrect bangers from years ago. Like, some of my selections are 20 years old.
Okay.
What do you mean? You thought these songs would be long-lasting?
Yeah. Just thought it would be more part of our lives. So let's resurrect them.
I'm looking at your picks. I'm like, how could you think this song would have stood the test of time?
It's going to be good.
Right, we'll take a break. Coming up next, we'll just come back with it. Can we come back with it?
No. I want to set it up.
You can set it up when we come back.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, John is out. It's just me and Raheel and Dell. But we do have a little, put a little bow on the NFL draft with my old friend Trevor Sikkema, and who is one of the better draft experts in the space, does an amazing job in a lot of different formats, and we'll put you on game at the end of this when we talk about all the different areas they can find you, Trevor. But first of all, welcome to the show. Good morning. Can I just tell you, by the way, and this is going to be news for a lot of people, because I'm always just – when I'm on social media, number one, Instagram doesn't show me anything anymore. It doesn't show me anybody I know, people's stuff. It just shows a bunch of other videos. On social media, I typically go to mentions because I'm always answering questions or – fielding, comments from people who listen to the radio show or from draft. And so I know this is old, but I'm late to the game. I had no idea that you were married to Alyssa Lang, who does sideline stuff. I didn't know until this. I didn't know until this year when you retweeted where somebody goes, "Hey, Alyssa, you know Alyssa Lang, I would lose my give up my life for her, whatever." And you go, "Dude, I know the feeling. I know exactly what you're talking about." I'm like, "Wait a minute, wait a minute." And I vaguely remember something about. I think Trevor is going out with her. Oh no, no big deal. You've just been married for a couple of years now. I didn't even know.
Honestly, that might be a credit to my draft work and how much I spew out bad draft takes, because that's honestly my claim to fame, is being married to Alyssa Lang. Like, that is truly the best part of my identity, whether it's personal or professional. So I don't know how we kept that under wraps from you for so long.
There's pictures on social media. I'm like, it wasn't a secret, but she does sideline stuff and she's with us. She's really funny. Great personality. Really funny. Also, when she was here in Houston doing something, she had talked about either donuts or kolaches or something, where she made some food comment. I went, oh, she understands the culture. This is the culture right here.
Yeah. So if there's anything about my wife, it's that she knows ball when it comes to making sure that every single meal is accounted for in the correct way. I mean, this is honestly a motto that we have amongst the two of us. There's only a finite of meals that you get in this life. You might as well enjoy most of them to the max, you know? So that's how we feel.
I love it. All right. So let's, I want to take you to just the Houston Texans. Well, I mean, because we're in Houston. And, you know, I've got my thoughts on Texans draft. I want to get your unfettered, unadulterated opinion of the Houston Texans draft. If you want, I can read it down for you, or you can just go over some of them. First of all, Rutledge in the first round, Keelan Rutledge, and then Cade McDonald in the second round. Texans move up ahead of the Giants, who I think we're obviously going to take Cade McDonald, the interior defender from Ohio State. What are your thoughts on the first two picks? Because I look at those first two personally, Trevor, as like, okay, these are core picks. Like, you need to get these two right.
Yeah, no, 100%. I know everybody loves draft grades. I gave this one like a B. B plus, B, that was kind of like where I was at with this. Mm-hmm. And I actually really liked the first two moves that they made, specifically because Caserio, who's not really one to be afraid to make trades, move up and get the guys that he wants. You know, you trade up a little bit for both of these guys, and I think that you do that because you think that they're both sort of, like you said, they're scheme and culture fits, right? I think believing that Rutledge can be a center or a guard starter for you, that's really great flexibility. And I can see sort of if they felt that way about him versus, you know, I know the conversation was Keelan Rutledge, you know, Chase Besantis, and some people had Emmanuel Pregnon close. Obviously, he goes later in the draft, but if you believe that Rutledge has that flexibility to play both of those spots, it's understandable why he was the first one of those three off the board and why Houston prioritized him there. So the name of the game for them over the last 2 years has just been, let's get the best starting five that we possibly can get. And when you have a player who's got that mentality to be able to play the offensive line that Rutledge does while also having that versatility, you got to feel pretty good about it. And then Cade McDonald, I mean, shoot, this is a player who, when I looked at him, I figured that Cade McDonald would be a second-round pick. You know, there were some people who were saying that he was going to be he could be a top 20 guy, but he ends up going 36, and I think that's a really good value for him, especially for the spot that he went to. He was a little bit lower on my overall big board, but if I was doing a team-specific big board for the Houston Texans, my goodness, like, how much of a difference does this guy make in the middle? You know, freeing things up for the two stud edge rushers, keeping the linebackers clean. You don't need Caden McDonald to be like to blossom into this pass rusher that he never was at Ohio State. If he's exactly what he was at Ohio State, that helps out Houston's defense maintain that top three and even top overall status in the NFL when it comes to what they want to do on the defensive side of the ball with D'Amico Ryan. So I like the fact that these two players, good scheme fits, have some versatility with Keelan Rutledge, and I like the fact Caserio got a little bit aggressive to make sure he went to get his guy. So I like both of those selections for him.
I did too, and it's one of those things where you know, so people ask, well, why didn't he go in the first round, Caden McDonald? I heard his name a lot. Well, it's just more reflection on being a two-down, run-stopping nose. He's not really a pass rusher. And those guys have, you know, their value is early second is great, is where the best, those best players go. Unless you can really rush the passer, it's hard to see these guys in the first round. But I love that pick because that's one of the few things the Texans have needed over the last few years is kind of a run stuffer in the middle. And I thought maybe this is against type for D'Amico Ryan, so maybe he wouldn't look for a player like that. But luckily, he he even addressed it. He goes, no, we've always, like, if the right guy came along, we'd always, it's not that we didn't want these kind of players, you know. If we could find the right player, we would absolutely take that player.
And I think that that's a really good point, too, because, you know, I will study a lot of these defenses, and honestly, I'll study a lot of these teams overall, and I look at their tendencies and how they played, you know, obviously specifically in the most recent year, but you go back a couple years if guys have been in the same spot, and you try to get a larger sample size. And I think for the Texans, it was really interesting because their front has been very attacking in its style. Even the interior defensive linemen have been guys who they've wanted to kind of like just get up the field. And so with that being the case, you know, I look at Houston's front, and it's good that you sort of brought that up the way that you did, where it's like, okay, well, they haven't traditionally had this type of player on the team, but that doesn't mean they wouldn't have welcomed it. So when I was thinking about McDonald, it was like, all right, well, I didn't really peg the Texans as a team for him to go, but after the fact, I looked at him on this depth chart, and I said, man, this is such a great scheme fit for them. It makes a ton of sense. And just because of the style that they played in 25 doesn't mean that that's 100% exactly what they want to do in 2026. I think that getting McDonald is an evolution of their defensive line here moving forward.
So the tight end, Marlon Klein, what we do know, if you're in the draft space or really followed it, is that Nate Burkacher from Texas A&M was drafted in the somewhere in the 50s. By Jacksonville, and it set off a run where all of these teams. So the Rams ran 13 personnel. It's one running back, three tight ends, one wide receiver. That's what 13 personnel is. 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends, two wide receivers. So the league, the Rams went really heavy into 13 personnel, which is big, heavy tight end personnel, and It's they did more out of it and more with it than anyone in the league. They ran it over 30% of the time last year, which was incredible. They had some success with it. So a lot of teams are looking at 12 personnel and 13 personnel. So what happened was everyone went into this draft thinking, okay, this is a deep draft for tight ends. We're going to do that too. And then once Nate went in the second round, it set off a massive run of, I would say, a round earlier than most people expected it to go relative to what history shows us with tight ends. The Texans grabbed Marlon Klein, and I want to get your thoughts specifically on Marlon Klein. He is a player who can kind of a combo tight end. He can block a little bit. He's actually a decent blocker. 6'6", kind of high cut, long legs, but he's a good athlete. Ran I believe a 4.61. He ran a fast 40 time too. He's a little still kind of learning the game. Came over from Germany to Georgia, high school in Georgia, and played there. And want to get your thoughts on Marlon Klein, the player, and then also the idea that everyone would you have been it if you were a general manager? I talked to Brett Veach about it, who was the GM of the Chiefs, and he's like, we loved a certain tight end, and he said we just wanted to stay true to our grades, and when those guys started, you know, the big run came, we just said, well, we're not going to do this. We have too many needs. What are your thoughts on the tight end run and also specifically Marlon Klein from Michigan for the Texans?
Yeah, the tight end run was fascinating, right? I think that when the Jags took Burkacher at 56, I agree with you. I think that it just set off something in motion where teams didn't know what was going on. Like, it's one thing to draft a tight end who has good receiving ability a little bit earlier than you thought he was going to go. But I think that we watched the NFL live in real time react to something that was brand new, at least for this era of football. And that was that these blocking tight ends are getting prioritized around, sometimes even a round and a half earlier than where we had them. For example, like I look at the Chicago Bears, I look at the Chicago Bears Hall, and I was like, man, you know, they didn't draft defensive line at all until the sixth round. And I look at their draft, and when I'm critical of a draft, I have to be realistic about it, right? I can't just sit here and go, well, I'm going to give you a lower grade because you should have, you know, drafted a defensive lineman. I actually go through the exercise of saying, okay, well, where would you have drafted a defensive lineman? And the only place where the Chicago Bears really would have changed their draft is where they drafted Sam Roush, the tight end out of Stanford, at number 69. They had another pick in the, I think it was the 80s or 90s, like further down the board. And I guarantee you, they wanted to pick Roush at, again, I think it was like 89, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's where I had him plugged in. I thought he was about, like, that's where he would go, I thought, around there.
Right, and that's where I guarantee they wanted to pick him. But when Borkircher and Klein go off the board in the top 60, they go, oh, my goodness, we can't wait. We got to take this guy at 69. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that it was a domino effect after that that really set it in motion. And I think for the first time in a long time, the NFL was over-prioritizing, seems like criticism, but just, you know, in context of what we've seen before, over-prioritizing these blocking types of tight ends. Now, Klein specifically, I like this player. This is a ball of clay type of potential player. He's got great length to him. I still think that he's filling out his body the way that you would kind of want to for the NFL, and I don't say that negatively. I'm saying that sort of as a positive. Like, I think he could put on more weight, especially if you want him doing more of the inline blocking assignments. He comes from a really good strength and conditioning program at Michigan that has a lot of these guys working on their flexibility and their agility constantly, so he's got a good baseline with that. As a receiver, he's green, but, you know, you mentioned it. He had been playing football too long, and so he didn't have a ton of starts under his belt anyway, so that was always going to be a little bit of a work in progress. But, again, this was a player who I had him outside, just outside of my top 100, sort of as a preferred early day three tight end.
Yeah.
But you get to this point where if he's at the top of your list, you're kind of, again, you're almost panicking. You're almost panicking when Borkircher goes off the board at number 56, because you just don't know what's going to happen after this. So I do. It's kind of been tough because, like, I've talked to a lot of Jags fans. I've gone on some Jags broadcasts, you know, after the draft, and it's like, hey, do I love that they took Borkircher at 56? No, but I do like the player, you know, and that's kind of how I feel about Klein. It's like, do I love that they felt like they had to take him at 59? No, but now that he is on the team, I think there's a world where he can be very beneficial for them, especially in the second half of his rookie contract.
And we're draft people. We do this stuff. And the fans get upset when they think that, you know, the whole consensus board where they believe this is where a guy's supposed to go. And then right. It goes earlier, people get upset. And then in 3 years, when you look back at a draft, you don't care about where they're drafted. You care if they were any good. Like, what right. did this draft look like for this team? What did this draft look like for that team? So ultimately, I get the fuss about it, and everyone, but this is what I think is overdone, Trevor. I think the idea that you could have probably slid back 7 spots and gotten him. What are we doing? Like, you have no idea who's behind you. 7 slots, like, what's, and picked it, like, number one, do you even know if that trade up or trade back is even available? And number two, you don't right. know what other people's boards are. If there's a difference of 7, 8, 11 spots in the same round, you just do it. If you can trade back, that's great. But I've had plenty of conversations with teams who have traded back and got snaked, where the guy they wanted got snaked.
Yes. Yeah. No, and look, you're totally right. I think that a lot of the discussions that have been had around the consensus board, it's cool to see people thinking about it in a certain way, but I do think that some of the arguments that people are making are missing the point a little bit. I think Steve Palazzolo from 3013 put it the best way, very eloquently. This is kind of how I've tried to explain the consensus board, and he just put it very eloquently. The consensus board isn't something that you should just go off of, right? Like, they're like, oh, okay, well, I have this player ranked 55th overall on my board. I'm picking at 48. That means I have to trade back 7 spots to get good value for. Like, that's not the point. The point is that it is a snapshot of the market. And you put it like this. If a hot dog costs $5, why would you pay $20 for it? And that's just the principle that you're kind of talking about here. Now, you could say to yourself, man, I'm really hungry. I want this hot dog. And you could buy it, and you could want it, and you could over-prioritize it, and it could end up being great for you. That could be the exact meal that you want. This could be perfect for you. But the thought process and the point of the consensus board is, don't always, or most often, don't be paying $20 for something that you could get for 5.
Right.
And that's the point of the consensus board, is it's not about don't take chances on players. It's not about don't go get your guy. The thought is, from a bigger sample size year after year, you don't want to be paying $20 for something that you could get for $5 over and over and over again. That is a bad process, and that is a bad understanding of the market. But in terms of the acquisition of players that you want that make your football team better, that is also a part of it that's very important to remember. The consensus board, it's not like it doesn't matter at all, but it is also something that you can't just look at and say, yes, we should follow it blindly. The truth is in the middle, and it's about understanding as best you possibly can where the market value is on these players to maximize the draft.
That's Trevor Sikkema from the NFL Stock Exchange Show. You can find it on YouTube. He does phenomenal work. He and Connor Rogers have a great podcast, video cast you can find on YouTube. You can follow Trevor at Tampa Bay Trey, T-R-E. And he's a fantastic follow. Very good draft guy. One of the really good dudes in this space and somebody I like a lot and really works hard at it. So wanted to get you on my show. We've never had a chance to talk on the radio, so I appreciate you coming on.
Of course, brother. Anytime.
Yeah, thanks, man. Trevor Sikkema. So go follow him. Go check out his work. He does a great job. When we come back, Rahil brings back the bangers. We're going to – what Rahil said. We're not reinvesting in bangers.
Resurrecting
bangers.
Reinvesting.
We're not going to reinvest in the community. We're just going to resurrect some bangers. And we'll start that when we come back. Rahil will set it up. And then we'll hear it. I've got a couple bangers in mind. I'm not really sure what he's going for.
Question.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. They're not really bangers necessarily.
Just things you want to hear.
Yeah, that's it. 848. Let's break it right here.
Listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, before we get into resurrecting bangers, the NBA referee assignments are out for tonight. And the Lakers at Houston, there is the alternate Kevin Cutler. Many of you will remember him from some of his work in the past.
No idea.
Yeah. Carl Lane is the umpire. I didn't know we had umpire and referee. The referee is Curtis Blair, and the crew chief is one Scott Foster.
Whoa.
Now, JJ says, well, it was a good run, Rocket. Scott Foster's reffing tonight. The NBA must want to get this over with. However, others have said...
He's known as the extender.
He's known as the extender.
And he's more of a Chris Paul thorn in the side, yeah. Not as much of a Rocket.
I don't think Rockets. I think he hates Chris Paul. He hates the Paul family.
Yeah, that's established.
I think he's known as the playoff extender.
Yeah, they bring in Foster to take to game seven.
Yeah, I feel good about him being this spot.
Will he be the crew chief for all three games tonight? Set up game seven Sunday?
I guess this is the one they want most because it's the Lakers, LeBron. And, you know, you never know. Kevin Durant may fight through injury and play.
I think they just announced he's not going
to
be playing. Shams
loves to pre-announce to just take all drama away, like you said.
Well, right. Here's your drama. He was upgraded hours after Shams said he was out to doubtful. He went from to doubtful.
Wait, what's the rankings?
It's out, doubtful.
Probable, questionable, doubtful, out.
And then you got out for the season.
Yeah, that's
so he was upgraded from out to doubtful out just mere hours after Shams said he's not playing.
All right. So questionable is worse.
Questionable is better.
Better.
Because doubtful means he's not going to warm up.
Questionable actually gives you a shot.
Questionable, like when you hear a player who's been out for a while is upgraded to questionable, then you know either he's going to be back in the next game.
I usually think questionable's back in the NFL. Now, Kevin Durant is...
Questionable to me is like the worst
fight.
One.
He can't fight through a cold.
It depends on where you are. If you didn't know there was an injury and then he's downgraded to questionable, then you got a real problem. But if you knew he was hurt... Upgrade to questionable means he's probably going to play.
Granato always is like, Raheel's questionable.
Well, that's
so that's why I'm like, that's a bad thing.
I think he means it in a different way.
I was going to say it's a bad thing then.
He could say suspect or questionable suspect. Yes. Okay.
Two Americas. John says questionable. Others would say suspect.
So we'll see what happens tonight. Game six. Bunch of game six tonight. Uh-huh. We'll see if game sevens culminate in Sunday's game seven Sunday. That would be awesome if three of them are there. Well, but I want to do resurrecting bangers.
Yeah. So let's do this. So what made you think of this?
All right. So Michael Jackson, the film. Mm-hmm. What's it called? Thriller? What's it called?
I think it's called Jackson.
Just Jackson.
Yeah, it's called Jackson. Critics hate it. Fans love it.
96% on Rotten Tomatoes, mm-hmm. but it's also resurrected all of Michael Jackson's bangers.
I didn't realize that.
Because every kid,
when they're born, somehow knows Billie Jean and Beat It. I don't know how they know it. Every kid knows the song.
Yeah. Thriller.
They all know Thriller.
Because that's in school. They always play it at Halloween parties and stuff.
Dude, it's like it's over 40 years old.
Yeah.
How in the world do they hear? I don't know.
But all of his songs are now charting.
So they're all back.
Yeah, everything is coming back, right? And he is.
You want to be starting something, I bet?
I want to
Baby Be Mine? We'll see if they're all charting.
Oh, I don't think that one. we'll do it. So there's songs from that era for me. Like for me, the 90s to 2010, there were a lot of bangers that I was like, man, I'm going to listen to this song forever. And I just don't. So I went and looked up a couple of songs.
Oh, so that's how you're playing.
That's what I'm doing. It's like, man, this song should be in my rotation a lot more. And the general public should appreciate this one. So my first offering to you, Resurrecting Bangers, is this classic that ruled late night TV.
Oh, no. Oh.
Let it play. Yeah.
This is a banger?
This is such a banger.
Late night TV? I don't understand. How was it on late night TV?
It used to be on this like soundtrack that they sold, Pure Moods. And this was the title track, Enigma Return.
Yeah. I could come up with songs like this.
Oh, turn it up. It's like a little sexual. It's a little spiritual.
It's not a banger. Is this Enigma?
What are you talking about?
Is this Enigma?
Enigma.
Because I was going to say, they have another song just like
this. Oh, yeah, Sadness.
Yeah, sounds exactly like that.
This is an absolute banger. I think it was a top 10 Billboard hit. Here we go.
This is a banger?
No, of
listen to
not.
The lyrics.
Just because it's popular doesn't mean it's a banger.
Just wait. You tell me this is not a banger that you want on your playlist right now.
I don't.
Listen to your heart, my friend. Here we go. Turn it up.
This is an earworm, is what it is.
You're telling
this
me
is like the one with the. It's just like the same one, Jay Z. They did a mix with Jay Z with it. It's got the same kind of hook in it in the middle. Like,
See? He's that's already back on.
Punjabi MC, I think,
Punjabi
is his name.
MC.
Yeah.
You're telling me tonight, game six.
Play Punjabi MC, see there if you get go. The same that's vibe off of it. You act now I kind of see what you're doing.
Yeah, these are bangers.
See. Can you pull up Punjabi MC? Because people will know this one, too. Because this one ended up in a mashup with Jay-Z. Oh.
Rockets fans, get on your feet. Game six.
That's a loss. That is an L if you play this.
This is a banger we can rally around.
You think these players are going to find this to be a banger?
They just need what to
about
hear it
the,
once.
What about this one?
All right, what's
I'll let one? Him. I'll let him pull this one up.
So that's my first offer.
All right, how about this one? And this made me think of this one right here. When you played that, I'm letting Dale hit that button.
We're doing Resurrecting Bangers. You can call in or
David
send
Whitlock
us your...
says, you already know what Raheel's doing. It's just fake deep thoughts in musical category.
It's true.
It's kind of, it's a little bit true.
Oh.
Now what about this?
It's a crazy world we're living in. And I just can't
JK.
See half of us in
most instant is how we have. Some Jamiroquai.
Oh.
I wouldn't play this for the Rockets necessarily.
I would... Is this his biggest banger? I don't think it is, right?
Space
Dynamite.
Cowboy. Oh, yeah, Canned Heat. Napoleon. It got
Dynamite
bigger because of... But I legitimately really like...
It's a good song.
They have Sunny... Yeah, 7 days and Sunny June. But we brought this up because there's another story about Jamiroquai that I'd never heard.
Well, Jamiroquai's the band. The lead singer's name, like Jake Jam K or something like that.
Uh-huh.
He told a story... I'm not playing this. Don't text me. Don't try to play with me.
Who texted you?
Me.
He texted me.
He gets upset because I'm actually sending him good music.
It's terrible. Okay. He told a story, and it resurfaced for some reason, where he could not be with Winona Ryder, a young Winona Ryder.
They used to go out?
Yeah, probably back when this was popular. I don't know. The lead singer went out with Winona Ryder and said one of the reasons it didn't work out was she was too sexually voracious.
Whoa.
And she had... large breast. Larger than you think. He goes, you know, I know you see her out there in public, but they're actually larger than you think. And her appetite was more than he could handle.
So,
and he told this
too
story.
Much.
And too much. He couldn't handle it.
It's a...
Alright. I got Winona Ryder. I got to see.
Oh, now he's going to Google. You can do it on this NFL computer.
Oh, it's my... I don't care. It's my computer.
Yeah, your computer's
Winona
a mess.
Ryder.
It's a mess. You have one,
Adele? She is so pretty.
She was, and now she's still Stranger Things. All the Stranger Things.
She plays the mom on that show. Now it's off because they finished their fifth season.
She used to go out with, and Heather, she went out with the movie Heathers, and he was just in Joaquin the one about Phoenix. The girl who, if I had legs, I would kick you.
I have no idea. No,
no,
Rose
no.
Byrne?
No, no, no. Christian Slater.
Oh, he's
Christian Slater, when Christian he was in Slater. Heathers, was like 18. He
is
was
he
legit
alive?
That young. Yeah, he showed up in this movie, If I Had Legs, I Would Kick You. And Rose Byrne was nominated for an Oscar for it.
Christian Slater, man.
Yeah.
56 years old.
And he still kind of looks
in that
the same.
Depends category.
Wow. We got to back out of that one.
No, okay. I'm not back out of that one. I don't care.
Well, this one was one of the first Australian imports for me. And now they've taken over. They're everywhere from the Hensworths to the Margot Robbies. But before...
Dear, my dear. I'm guessing that. The Cardigans. Is? I'm going to guess it.
I don't know that they're Australian.
Oh.
And you've got a Kylie Minogue, but I was more of a brunette fan at the time.
Mm.
Yo.
Yes.
She's Australian?
Yes.
Bangers.
She's Australian. This is actually a good one for this song.
Yeah.
I mean, for this category. Yeah.
I don't know the lyrics, but I like it.
Why not?
He was warm, he came around, like he was dignified.
He was dignified.
Had us all in a chokehold at one point.
Yeah.
Then I got one for you, Del.
Got this pixie cut going on, or I guess that's how you describe that haircut.
Yeah, she is cute.
She was a soap opera actress in Australia, Natalie Imbruglia. Also a musical artist.
She had blue eyes, like pretty blue eyes,
brunette
too.
With the blue eyes is a combo.
Yo, bang, great thing. Resurrecting banger.
I gave you one.
Here
I gave
go.
You one that was... Okay, right here. How am I getting sucked into this whole thing by Real? And then you're in it too, Del. You're right in the middle of all...
Like
I mean,
what
yeah.
do you want from me?
All right, play the one I just sent you. That would fit into this category to me. Now that
you're just sending me.
No, now that I feel the other one didn't work. The other one didn't work.
Yeah,
I'll admit
your
that
song
one.
Stink.
This one does fit in the same category because it's the same general time frame.
Let's see if Lance can resurrect a banger.
Okay, let me see.
I would say your first one was a miss.
Well, it was kind of Del's pick too.
Okay,
that's fine. But play this. But do this one because now I feel like I'm in the groove of where y'all are in the time frame.
You get it.
So I'll play this one.
All right, here we go. Resurrecting bangers. Yo, yes.
I did. Watch, and then you had a little scratch right there.
Why are we scratching in this? There's no
They just
reason.
Threw just a random scratch at the beginning. It lasts for chuk-chuk-chuk-chuk, and then nothing else the rest of the whole song. Resurrecting bangers. Sometimes Brandon something his name is. I can't even remember his name.
Yeah, who is this?
Del will know all the names.
It's Incubus.
It's Incubus, but I don't know the name of the lead
know his
singer.
Last name.
See, and then you just let it kind of go, and then when he goes, and then the second when it hits the hook, it's like bang. You don't want to like this song. When I'm like, I mean, it does have a little hook to it.
It should be more popular.
It should be more popular. And you have a nice harmony right here. And he could be singing this to Natalie Imbruglia and then hitting it after the show.
Oh,
wow.
Hey, could smash.
Wow.
You never know. It could smash.
You have to take it there.
He likes Australian girls.
Here you go.
You don't know that.
Here's the hook. Sing it, Del. You know it.
I know that.
With open arms and open eyes, yeah. Come on, Del. We could turn this into a whole-ass karaoke if you want.
Dude, I already did. This is a great one. Resurrecting bangers right here on the bench.
That was a song that plays in the type of what you're looking for, I think.
Okay, this next offering to you, I'm not trolling. This song
If it's
always,
a Rickroll.
No, it's not Rickroll. This song is one of the most hated songs in music history, but I feel like it's a banger, and it should be resurrected.
If it's a hated song, how's it a banger?
Because at the time, it was, again, it was a top 10 Billboard charting song. It was everywhere.
There's some songs I absolutely hate, like Cranberry's Zombie. I hate it. Don't let this be
Zombie.
But Zombies
is still popular. That one's still playing.
I know it plays, and I hate the Cranberries.
This one I don't hear enough of.
That's sacrilege is what you're saying in
there. Here we go.
Okay.
About Cranberries?
Yeah, watch yourself. She passed away recently.
That's not my fault.
No one blamed you for that. I didn't say it was your fault, but watch yourself in there.
Resurrecting
Pay respects.
Yo.
Come
come, my lady. Come, come, my lady. Come, come, my lady.
Come on.
What are the names again?
Butterfly.
Crazy Town.
Crazy Town. Crazy Town. Back when you're like, hey, can we make this more like street, a little more hip hop?
Yeah. Oh my God, how'd you come up with this?
Because I am a wild man.
I was gonna do New Radical, Get What You Give.
Nah.
But you now take it in a little different direction now.
It's Crazy Town is what's happening to country music right now. Like
Crazy Town is?
So here's the lead singer of Crazy Town.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen him before.
Right?
Yeah.
You're like, wait, why is he talking like that? Like, why is he going so urban?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening in country music right now, new country.
It's going Crazy Town?
It's going Crazy Town. You're like, hey, can we make this
It's
more
a wet and wild Friday, so I don't know what to tell you.
It is
well,
wet and wild.
We are way past...
It's wet and wild.
We can be talking about the Astros split a doubleheader if you want.
I mean, we just got to go to the break more than anything else. But you've had your two. Lance had two. I've got one more.
Yeah, right. Let's go.
And my banger is here.
You hover above, rain, hail below.
I knew it couldn't be a real one. Real
I knew you nice couldn't just stay I'm true to the. I was going to throw that.
You couldn't stay true to the actual resurrecting bangers.
Rebels, rebels, bringing the muskets and bringing down death on us. Rebels, rebels, keep everybody in bondage.
Oh, way down south in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away.
Your commitment to that was unreal.
It's three songs.
It's all the same day. I was on one that day.
Yeah.
But honestly, here's my choice, and it leans in just to give Lance a treat because he's always doing this. But
yeah,
honestly,
somebody saying LZ trying to be a Gen Zer. Like, how old do you think these songs came out 10 years ago, dummy?
These are older than that.
These are like 99, 2000.
Shut up, Mohawk. You stupid ass. Shut up, you dummy.
Do you have an actual resurrection?
Yes, this one's for you, Lance, but also it is a
banger. It's Cardigans. Oh, Evanescence. I knew it.
Yeah, come on.
It does fit the category. Somewhere between 2000 and 2005, if we stay in there, that's the category.
Hold on.
Because, you know, it's Gen Z territory when they weren't born.
Let's go.
I always put this on Dell every chance I get.
Still a banger, no matter.
This is why you speak so corporately. Because this is your corporate voice because you listen to Evanescence. That's why you're corporate.
Don't
respect
me, coach.
Respect the banger.
And then here's a boil.
What is the lay? Because
they're really
playing
it out.
Can't wake up!
Next, we come back with all Linkin Park on the show. Here, just play it out with this. That's fine.
Save me!
ESPN 97.5.